This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Sunday Spin on this nice, so far pleasant Sunday morning. Just back out on the WGN Storm Center patio, and we're still got overcast skies in downtown Chicago, but temperatures are not bad, and there's a nice breeze to kind of move that humidity along. So get out and enjoy it before those afternoon rain kind of rolls in.
A little less muggy out there, was it?
A lot less muggy.
A lot less muggy.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, indeed. It's very, very comfortable out there this morning. So maybe you can have your regular cup of coffee with the show. Now you don't have to get the iced coffee. It's not that bad yet. Well, we've been talking about all of the goings on in politics. I'm back from Cleveland. The Republican National Convention, Philadelphia, and the Democratic National Convention starts. But when I was doing the recounting the spin through the national politics, one of the more interesting things in Cleveland was a visit to the Illinois delegation by Corey Lewandowski. Corey Lewandowski being the fired top Trump campaign aide. And he gave his reaction to the issue of Melania Trump's plagiarized speech. And Corey Lewandowski, of course, is now a paid contributor to CNN. And his remarks echoed what he told reporters with the Illinois delegation. This is what he had to say.
I think Mrs. Trump is an extremely articulate, smart, successful woman who had an idea of what she wanted to say to the American people. This was really her first opportunity to talk directly to the American people, 35 million people. And I think she laid out her vision and asked the team to put together some thoughts based on what the overarching goals was that she wanted to achieve.
So she asked to lay out her vision, and then someone in the campaign laid out Michelle Obama's vision? What do you say?
Oh, look, I don't know the intricacies of how the speech came to be, but what I do think happened was Mrs. Trump probably said, here are the things I want to talk about. I want to talk about my childhood. I want to talk about my sister. I want to talk about my husband. And here's what I want to talk about as a U.S. citizen. And somebody, a staff person who should be held accountable. Look, I agree with Reince Priebus. Whoever was the staff person who wrote this speech should be held accountable and should be fired.
And Lewandowski went on to tell CNN that he thought if the person who replaced him at the top, Paul Manafort, signed off on the speech, that Manafort ought to be fired as well, which shows these continuing tensions that exist within the Team Donald over those who are loyal to Lewandowski, those loyal to Manafort. And that's kind of how you end up with a convention like we saw. And joining me now on the phone is Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman. He was a John Kasich delegate. And Mr. Brady actually could be seen leaving Cleveland before Donald Trump even gave his acceptance speech. Thank you, Pat, for joining the show.
Glad to be here. How you doing?
I'm great. And it's good to be home. Even though
I left the speech because I have these things that live in my house. They're called kids, and I can't spend 5 days away from my kids, so it was time for me to go home.
It was time for all of us to go home at the end, I think. It was a convention like I've never seen, one where, it was kind of funny. I was telling people before I left to Cleveland, we had a planning session at the Tribune, and it's kind of, we went over both conventions and you try to, lay out what might be possible storylines. And we did that for the Democratic convention. And then they said, okay, what about the Republican convention? And I said, TBD, to be determined. I said, every day is going to be a spot story because you can't plan for anything that's going to happen at this convention. And certainly it came off that way.
It did. And I thought it was much less organized and dramatic than it might have been. There were some fights and some things like that on the floor, but I thought it would be more entertaining to them. I know it's not what politics is all about, but I thought Trump would make it more entertaining. It was pretty subdued. And actually, the first 2 days were really subdued, and if you really listen to all the speeches, not very uplifting or aspirational.
Well, and one of the knocks on this is the view that it's supposed to be that he actually was giving this dark vision of America and that kind of thing, and that it was all about Hillary Clinton, and it was not about him laying out a vision for what he wants to do.
Right. Orange is the New Angry. It was a very angry speech. I thought it was very little detail or substance as to what he's going to do. I went back and read it. It was an hour and, 16 minutes, which is way too long. And it really didn't say anything, any kind of detail of where he wants to take the country. And I understand people are upset and angry, you know, the 13.5 million people that voted for him. But I think the rest of the country, the independents, the people in the middle, want to know what you're going to do.
And, you know, there is that point. And frankly, you know, reporters ask that all the time. It's when do we get some substance here? When are you going to put some, you know, meat on the bones? And it's not clear to me who's going to be in charge of doing that for them.
Well, you saw the New York Times story where, and it was confirmed to me from the Kasich people, Governor Kasich people, that Trump basically offered Governor Kasich the vice presidency with very broad powers. He could run foreign policy and domestic policy, and the, Donald Trump was just going to be a CEO type, and Governor Kasich would be a COO, which to me is a remarkable statement about how he views his role should he be president.
Well, and we have, you know, we've seen all of these various statements that he's made, the issue about the U.S. may not automatically be bound by NATO's pledge to, you know, consider attack on one country an attack on all.
Yes, and the only time that they've ever, I think it's Article 5
yes.
In the NATO provisions, the only time they've actually exercised that is when we were attacked on 9/11. And for him as a Republican, or the Republican nominee to make that statement, goes against 60 years of Republican foreign policy and national security ideology. And that's, I think, why he can't say a lot of these things, because a lot of it, if somebody starts pointing out what he has said on the trail, is it doesn't jive with Republican positions, or historic Republican positions.
Well, but it almost seems, too, that he's trying to make NATO like like the argument about the UN, that other nations don't pay their fair share and those kinds of things. But,
you know, we've always made that, the UN, we've always made that argument. With NATO, no candidate, serious candidate anyway, has ever gone far enough to say we're not going to honor that most important provision in the NATO accord. That's why we have NATO. So we have a unified front should somebody like another thing that bothered me about just that is the alignment with Putin. McCain said it best. I look into his eyes, I see KGB. Putin's a bad guy, and you have to be very cautious in lining up with him. And he also said he wants to pull troops out of South Korea. And at one point he said he wants to give nuclear weapons to Japan. Those are ideas I've never heard before.
I actually want to talk to you more about the whole idea of Russia and, of course, some of the Russian Putin and Trump connection, and also we have this issue of the DNC leaks that came out. I want to talk to you more about that, but we have to take a quick break. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. Welcome back to The Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, 8:17 on this Sunday morning. I'm in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in Tribune Tower, and joining me on the phone is Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman, and he was a John Kasich delegate to the recently adjourned Republican National Convention. A lot of stories in the news about Trump, Putin, the Russian connection, that questions about whether part of Trump's financial status is basically backed by Russian investment. We had the WikiLeaks release of thousands of emails regarding the Democratic National Committee. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of conspiracy theories, but you see this kind of going around where the DNC, these emails showing the DNC obviously exhibiting a preference for Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders and working for Hillary. But then you have the fact that the DNC kind of had revealed that it had been hacked, and it looked like it had been by a foreign power that had done the hacking. And then right before the start of the Democratic National Convention, you have the dumping of these emails. I don't know.
Interesting. The substance of the emails don't surprise me necessarily. The DNC, the Democratic National Committee, is an arm of the presidency, and the president clearly was supporting, although he didn't say it publicly, Hillary Clinton. So I'm less surprised seeing that, but the hacking's scary, and I'm not sure on the global conspiracy, but a lot of stuff dumped right at the wrong time for the Democrats on purpose, I'm sure. But listen, let's give them credit for the rollout with the vice presidential pick that did, rolled out almost perfectly.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, you know, because a lot of people naturally were, you know, remarking on the differences between Donald Trump rollout of Mike Pence, and then you've got Hillary Clinton's rollout of Tim Kaine yesterday. Two totally different ways to present a vice presidential running mate.
Right. Have their candidate is in Miami, in Florida, a swing state, speaking Spanish. Almost looked almost like a perfect rollout. The point is, too, even maybe a deeper question you mentioned before, the plagiarism and the bad rollouts and the lack of social media attached to the rollouts and the other things. It seems, and this is from people that were there last week, there's just a lot of disorganization in the Trump campaign. And from what I was told, and you might have heard the same, that it's the Trump business empire versus the political operatives, and that's where the tension is, and that's why it seems to be so disorganized.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, plus when you still have that kind of fighting going on, infighting going on with Corey Lewandowski and you know, Paul Manafort and that kind of shit revealing itself in a very public way, it's you wonder what's going on within the organization itself.
Well, you covered it. And wasn't the same thing going on with the Clinton campaign against Senator Obama? That seemed like there was a lot of backstabbing in the Clinton campaign and fighting versus the Obama campaign, which seemed to be just the opposite.
Yeah, and of course, part of that, too, was the fact that when the campaign starts losing, then the finger-pointing begins, which is kind of the nature of all campaigns.
Yeah, and then they started out losing, so it went losing in Iowa. So, but anyway, I just the point that I took away from all the people that I talked to in Cleveland, it was a lot of disorganization, and it's still a Trump business entity running the campaign versus the political people, and the political people trying to get in.
So you had to leave and go back and with family, but on Friday morning, Richard Porter, the Republican National Committeeman for the state of Illinois, gets on stage before the Illinois delegation breakfast and described the booing of Ted Cruz for his non-endorsement of Donald Trump as fun and as a true sign of how united everybody is, which then prompted a Illinois Cruz delegate to walk out of the breakfast.
Yeah, you know, Richard's in a position that he's got to toe the company line. He's a national committee. I mean, he's on the Republican National Committee, and he's got to do that, just like Paul Ryan kind of has to do it. Tim Schneider, the party chairman, has to do it. So I got to respect that. And Richard, nobody does more for the party than Richard
Porter. I'm not picking on Richard, but it's just, you know, when you say, you know, we're united, and you look at how the convention played itself out, how united is everybody?
It was pretty bad. Thing was pretty bad. It really was. I think my fourth one that I've actually attended. It just was not. And the Ted Cruz, I don't know why he spoke if he wasn't going to do it, endorse. A lot of people that aren't huge Trump supporters even feel the same way. Why even speak if you're not going to come and endorse him? Because he was one of the few people that actually did speak. We didn't see either the President Bush's or John McCain or Mitt Romney or anybody at the convention, which is highly unusual.
Well, I did kind of like one social media tweet I saw about the Ted Cruz thing, which said, you know, after he was done, it's like, now you know why Ted Cruz doesn't have any friends in Washington.
Any friends anywhere.
Right. But at the same time, you know, Trump's people knew what he was going to say. And, yeah, they might have been hoping for a last-minute, you know, endorsement ad lib or something in the speech, but they knew exactly what he was going to say. And, of course, you know, we've seen the stories where Manafort was actually orchestrating which of the lines in the speech that people should start booing at.
The drama of him walking out during Cruz's speech and to the boos, was effective and a good moment for Donald Trump, but the next day after his speech, he's railing on Cruz about his dad being a co-conspirator with Lee Harvey Oswald. I mean, he can't stay on message.
And someone else noted, too, that it seems like whenever Donald Trump gives a speech using a teleprompter, a very measured speech. Somehow he ends up following that up with one of these unscripted press conferences where, as you pointed out, he seemed to be still carrying the grudges against Ted Cruz that this is a guy he beat. He's the nominee. You know, it's time to move forward and look at the general election.
Yeah, and you'd think when you're running for the most important office in the world that you would at least try to have some discipline, but it just goes beyond him. He doesn't do it, and it's time and time again. Now we'll see what happens. But yesterday, with Hillary Clinton picking Tim Kaine, I was playing with some models yesterday. If Hillary Clinton wins Virginia, I think Trump can win Florida and Ohio and still lose.
The path becomes much, much tighter. The window to victory becomes very, very tight. Here we have the Democratic convention coming up, and yeah, there's still the Sanders supporters and the far left, but they make up a very sizable representation at this convention. And this really, I mean, as much as unity is always kind of the kumbaya that every party seeks to end a convention with, it's important for the Democrats as well.
Oh, they're going to have some of the same issues, but I think the swing and the miss by Trump was in his speech. He could have been taking a different tone and maybe appealed to some of these Sanders people, where he doesn't differ from them on the trade issues.
Right.
And he might be able to. That was always, to me, the coalition I thought that he was going to try to get, but he didn't really do anything in that speech to appeal to them. These people that don't care for Hillary Clinton, and there are a whole lot of those that might look to Trump, I think his speech probably turned a lot of them off.
Well, and quite frankly, I said if there is one kind of unifying rallying cry coming out of the Republican delegation and the Republican convention, it's if you don't like Trump, you get Hillary.
That's the choice. That's what a lot of the Republicans
the binary choice, I think, is how a lot of people were describing it.
Yeah, that's what Congressman Raskin was saying, just that. And I've the dislike for her is amazing. People they really do not like her.
Well, and I mean, as I've said before, that's quite frankly why I covered her in 2008, because there is, you know, there is no middle ground with Hillary Clinton. It's people like her or they hate her. There is no middle ground. But yet, you know, when you come down to this kind of a decision-making process, in November, it's not going to be Libertarian Gary Johnson. It's not going to be Green Party candidate Jill Stein. And when Cruz said, you know, vote your conscience in this speech, it was actually something Hillary Clinton seized on and said, yes, I agree with Senator Cruz, perhaps for the only time in my life, vote your conscience.
These debates are going to be something to be seen and probably critical. But if the Trump campaign doesn't do something here in the next 4 or 5 weeks, if she's up 5 or 6, 7 points going into September, it's going to be very tough for him to make up ground, even if he does tremendously well in debates.
Well, I did see somebody also pointed out that the speech by Donald Trump did not gain the spectacularly high ratings that everybody thought that it would.
And the convention was boring. And that, to my point earlier, I thought it would be more entertaining just because he is an entertainer. It was really, with the exception of a couple speeches, a pretty dry event. The speeches Monday night were heart-wrenching, but they were the same speech over and over again to a great extent. So, yeah, I can imagine the ratings weren't great. And he went 86 minutes, which I think is a record, isn't it?
It is a record. He beat Bill Clinton by 8 minutes, but as I was speaking earlier, he also sent out a tweet late last night up saying that much of that was due to the much of the time was due to the tremendous applause that he received for his speech.
Oh, that's, yeah, he's always got a story.
Well,
you know, I've done some of those speeches. They kind of factor that in, don't they?
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, in fact, it says applause in parentheses.
Exactly.
So.
The teleprompter was right behind where the Illinois delegation was. So
there you go. That's right.
All those, yeah.
That's Pat Brady. He's the former state Republican chairman. He was a delegate for Ohio Governor John Kasich. And as always, Pat, thanks so much for joining me this morning. And it was great seeing you out in Cleveland.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks, Rick. Have a good day. See ya.
We'll be back with more right after this.